Okay, so we just wanted to finish Daf Mem Vov Amud Aleph. Finish, you never finish, but another round of Chazora, and then we'll, Mitz Hashem, try and make a start to the new Sugya. So last time we mentioned that there were different opinions. Do you make a bracha on Sukkah 7 days or 1 day? Same too, a Shaila with Lulav, 7 days or 1 day. And the Gemara concluded, at least on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, that you should make a bracha, you should consider Rabbi Bar Chana's opinion as the main opinion, and that means that you make a bracha on your sukkah all 7 days, and on lulav, just 1 day. Lulav, 1 day. The problem was that we found a brisa that says the exact opposite, that lulav is in fact 7 days, and sukkah is 1 day. Now we know an amira cannot possibly, obviously, argue with a brisa. So how can a brisa say that you make a bracha on sukkah on 1 day, and he says 7? How can he say that lulav is 1, and he says lulav 7? So the Gemara says, the lulav contradiction doesn't bother us so much. In fact, it doesn't bother us at all, because we can distinguish between the zman of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, when the mitzvah of lulav was deraisa every day, and therefore there'll be a bracha every day, as opposed to what the Brisa is talking about, which is shaloi bizman HaMikdash. If it's shaloi bizman HaMikdash, then the mitzvah of lulav is in the main derabbanon, at least for day 2 and onwards, and therefore there'll be no bracha. But that's not a contradiction, we're just talking about two different periods in our history. But the sukkah stira is a very big problem. On the one hand, Rabbi Bar Chana was telling you that you make a bracha on sukkah for 7 days, and yet the brisa says for 1 day. That's the question. So the only real way that you can reconcile that, or better put, the only real way you can answer that question without reconciling it, is to say you're 100% right. It does not fit in with a brisa, but don't worry, because there is an alternative opinion. So it's quite true, Rabbi Bar Chana being an Amora cannot argue with a Tana. But if he finds another Tana who supports him, then I'm not arguing with a Tana. The Tana is arguing with a Tana. I'm just following one of the two opinions. Simple as that. So the Gemara says that's exactly our case in point. So let's go to the Gemara where Daf Mem Vov Amud Aleph, the first word on the line is Elo. Elo, Sukkah, Asukkah, Kashya. So lulav to lulav is not a question. Sukkah to sukkah is a question. He said that you make a bracha on sukkah for 7 days, and here it says 1 day. Says the Gemara, Tanoi hi. That's really the end of the answer. That's the answer. There's two Tanoim. Therefore, he's not possibly Chas v'Shalom arguing with a Tana. He is just taking the position of one of the Tanoim. You didn't realize there's a Machlokes Tanoim, says the Gemara, there's a Machlokes Tanoim. What is the Machlokes Tanoim? So the truth is, the Machlokes Tanoim doesn't specifically relate to Sukkah. Tefillin. It's talking about Tefillin, but we're going to copy and paste the Tefillin Machlokes onto Sukkah. What does it say with regard to Tefillin? The Tanya we've learned in a Braisa, Tefillin, Kol, Zman, Shema, Nichon. Every time you put them on, meaning if you're Masiach Das, we discussed this, obviously you don't keep on making Bracha on your Tefillin. If you take them off, and then you put them on a later time, Mavarech Alein, Divrei, Rebbe. V'chachom emoimrim, Einoi Mavarech Elo Shachris Bilvad. You only make a bracha once for Shachris. So we see that we have a machloikas with regard to Tefillin. Do you make multiple brachas or single bracha? So if we copy and paste that onto Sukkah, we'll have the same machloikas. Do you make multiple brachas or one bracha? So Rabbi Bar Chana, who said you make multiple brachas, as opposed to the brice at the top of the omer that says you only make one bracha, is the identical machlokes to Tefillin. Where there also you have a machlokes, you make multiple brachas or one bracha, which means that Rabbi Bar Chana, who said that you make a bracha every single day in Sukkah, follows the opinion that you make a bracha every single time in Tefillin. How does that fit in with the top brisa that says you only make a bracha once? The answer is, it doesn't. But that's a different opinion. What is the halacha, by the way? Says the Gemara, Itma, Abaya Omar, Hilchasa, Karebi. V'rova oma hilchos k'rabbanon. So not only do we have a machlokes between the Tanaim, but we also have a machlokes between the Amoraim, which Tana should we follow lahalacha. But clearly the Gemara is saying that Rava is following, he says, lahalacha is like Rabbanon. According to that, you'd only make bracha on tefillin once a day. The strange thing is that Rava himself didn't do that. Amar Rav Mary, brod bas Shmuel, chazin olei, I saw l'Rava, deloy ovid kishmaitse. He doesn't follow his own opinion. He told us that halacha is like the Rabbana, which means you only put your tefillin, only make a bracha on a tefillin once a day. And yet, guess what he himself did? El or rather, what did he do? Makdim, he got up early, v'koi, and he got up, he stood up. V'ayil, and lebeis hakisei, went to the bathroom, v'nofik, he emerged. U'moshi yodein, he washed his hands. U'manach tefillin, u'mevorech, put on his tefillin, and he makes a bracha. That's the first bracha of the day. And then guess what? When he had to go to the bathroom on another occasion, indeed, he came out, he washed his hands, and he made another bracha. So strangely enough, despite the fact that he told us Allah is at the Rabbanon, which would mean you only make your bracha on the tefillin once a day, he himself did not do that. Every time he went to the bathroom, he came out, washed his hands, put on his tefillin again, and made a brand new bracha. Says the Gemara, V'anan nami k'rebi avdinon. So too, we also paskin like Rebbe, and by the way, this is halacha l'maisa, which is that you make a bracha on a tefillin multiple times. I think we mentioned this as an example. If somebody makes a bris, so he keeps on his tefillin. But if the bris is not immediately after davening, so he has to take off his tefillin and he puts them on later on in the day, he'll make a brand new bracha, because we pass Ganite Rebbe.
Even on mitzvahs too?
Both brachas. Va'ana nami karebi avdinon, umavorchin kol shiva. Therefore, if you make your bracha on your tefillin multiple times, so too sukkah multiple times. As we know, this is the halacha as well with regard to sukkah. Every time you go into your sukkah, even if it is
multiple times a day,
you still make a bracha several times, certainly every day. Oma mazutra chazina leila Rav Papi. I saw Rav Papi. De kol emas de manach tefillin. Whenever. What does emas mean? Like the word emosai.
Every time.
When. Whenever. De manach tefillin. You put on his tefillin. Mevorich. Okay. Rabbonon de beir Rav Ashi. Kol emas demash meshihu behu bevarachi. Not only did they make a brachon every time they put on, but every time they felt their tefillin. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mitzvas lulav kol shiva. This is another opinion that also follows the 7-day lulav bracha rule. V'Rav Yeshua ben Levi Amar, no. Yoim rishoin mitzvas lulav. It's only on the first day that you have a mitzvah of lulav, but mikan ve'elech, from then on onwards, mitzvahs zakenim. What does that mean, mitzvahs zakenim? It's only a drabonon, and therefore you don't need to make a bracha. Again, same old machlekes. V'Reb Yitzchok Omar, kol yoim mitzvahs zakenim. That's very strange. Every single day is a drabonon va'afilu yom rishon, which is totally bizarre. Nobody in the world holds that the first day of Lulav is Darabonon. That's the Gemara's immediate question. What are you talking about? For Kaim along, we surely hold that Diyam Rishon is Dereisa. So something doesn't make sense. It must be a misquote. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ema, we have to add Bar mi Yom Rishon, not Afilu on Yom Rishon. What does Bar mean?
Except.
As Yossi Benjamin would say, Bar Yom Rishon. There it is. Besides for the first day. Therefore, it was a misquote. He didn't say that every day is drabonon, including the first day. Rather, every day is drabonon, besides for the first day, which means he's not adding anything to the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi also told us that the first day is doiraisa. After that is drabonon. Says the Gemara, Yehochi, Hainud Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Question mark. If so, then he's just telling me the exact same as Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So why are you bringing that as two separate opinions? It's not. Says the Gemara, Eima v'chein. Omar of Yitzchok. You're right. Underline the word v'chein. It wasn't supposed to say v'rav Yitzchok Omar. What does Rav Yitzchok Omar mean? As if he's coming to disagree. He's not disagreeing. He's absolutely agreeing with Rav Shua ben Levi. Every day is the Rabbonon, besides for the first day, which is the Eiraisa. Fine. Says the Gemara, if we're counting up opinions now, trying to work out who holds one, who holds seven. Says the Gemara of Afrav, Sovar Kol Shiva Mitzvahs Lulav. Rav also holds that you make a brach on all 7 days of Lulav. How do I know? Not that Rav specifically spoke about Lulav, at least at this stage of the game. What did Rav speak about? Hanukkah. So what's that got to do with Lulav? Because it's the Drabonon. The whole discussion was, do you make a bracha on mitzvah Drabonon? So if, even though he didn't specifically discuss the mitzvah of Lulav, but he did specifically discuss the mitzvah of Hanukkah, which is a Drabonon, so presumably it follows suit. That's what the Gemara says. V'af Rav Sovar. Rav also holds kol shiva mitzvahs lulav. How do I know? To omar Rav Chiya ba'ashi omar Rav. Ha-madlik ner shel Chanukah. When somebody lights the ner of Chanukah, tzorich levorech, even though Chanukah is only a mitzvah, derabonon. So you see quite clearly that mitzvahs derabonon, as far as Rav is concerned, also require a brocha. Therefore we have every right to assume at this stage of the game that so too when it comes to Lulav on the second day and onwards, despite the fact it's drabonon, nonetheless, it requires a brocha. Rav Yirmiyoma, Horoye Neir Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levorech. Remember, we discussed this at great length. Here is a very strange halacha. Not only does the madlik, the one who lights, not only does he make a bracha, so too the one who sees the neir also makes a bracha. So we saw Tosas, who discussed this at great length at the bottom of the Amud, where else do you find the concept of a birkas haroya? And the answer is, you don't. At least not with regard to mitzvahs. If I see the rainbow, if I see lightning, I make a bracha. But I don't make a bracha on seeing somebody perform a mitzvah. So why is Chanukah unique? So Tosa says, either because Chavivos HaNes, or because you might not have a house, or because you can say the bracha of She'os HaNisim, whereas all other mitzvahs there's no bracha to make, etc., etc., etc. So the Gemara says, my mevorech, what exactly is the bracha that you make on Ner Chanukah? Omer of Yehuda, Yoim Rishoyin, you make three brachas, Amadlik mevorech Sholosh, but the Roya mevorech Shtayim. Which bracha does he drop?
No,
the Roya. Ladlik, because he can't make a bracha to light, he's not lighting. Mikan ve'elech, from the second day onwards, madlik mavarech shtayim, because he's not making shechiyonu. So he'll make hamadlik, lahadlik, and shosanisim. But v'roya mavarech achas. Umay mavarech, baruch hasheke shom say, so v'tzivonu ladlik ner shel Chanukah. What does that mean v'tzivonu? V'heichon v'tzivonu. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly command us to light Ner Chanukah? Surely it's a mitzvah drabanon. Says the Gemara, no, miloisa. So from the pasuk that says, do not stray away from whatever Chazal teach you or instruct you. For Rav Nachman by Yitzchak amash al avicha v'yageitcha. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak masni lo behedya. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak stated it clearly. Amarav kol shiva mitzvahs lulav. So the first opinion says that Rav just discussed Chanukah. And he says, you make a bracha. And from that, we copy and paste onto Lulav. According to the second version of events, Rav absolutely stated it clearly with regard to Lulav, you make a bracha all 7 days. If you remember, we discussed last time, at great length also, who exactly is the Birkas Haroya instituted for? So for the person who has no house, and no family, no nothing, that's the classic Birkas Haroya. But what happens if he's going to light later on in the evening? Then there's no Birkas Haroya. What happens if they're lighting for him at home? We saw Big Machlokes. Big Machlokes. Some say if they're lighting for you at home, you're Yetzer the Mitzvah, therefore, that's it. No need to now make a bracha on the Raya. And some disagree. What is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, by the way? very, very bizarrely, it's an absolutely open stira in the Shulchan Aruch. In one place, the Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly that the Birkas Haroya is only for those whose wives are not lighting for them at home. And in the very next siman, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if your wife's lighting up your home, you should still make a Birkas Haroya. Total steer. Absolute steer. There's a whole big balagan, exactly what you're supposed to be doing, it's not clear. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ha'oise sukkah la'atzmai. If somebody makes a sukkah for himself, we said this towards the top of the Amud, Oimer Baruch Shachiyanu, Nichnas Leishev Ba, when he enters it, to sit in it, meaning on Yom Tov, Oimer Baruch Hashem, Kiddushanu, Leishev Basukkah. Hoiso Asuya Ve'oimedes, what happens if it was already made and standing, therefore there was nothing for him to do? So it depends. Im Yochel L'chadesh Ba Dovor, if he can be mechadesh bo dover, which is, by the way, is of course a big discussion. What does that mean, mechadesh? What do you have to be mechadesh? If you put on an extra sukkah decoration, is that called mechadesh? You have to wave the schach, you have to extend the sukkah. What does that mean, mechadesh? But whatever it means, if you're mechadesh bo dover, then indeed, mevarich. But if not, if it's the same sukkah that you had last year, so you can't possibly make shechiyonu because nothing happened over here. So then, lekashi yikonis, leishev bo, when he enters it too, sit in it, meaning on Yom Tov, Mevarech Shtayim, so make two brachas then, Shechiyonu and Leishev, which is, by the way, what we do. In fact, we pasken that even if you are constructing your sukkah, you still do not make Shechiyonu until you enter the sukkah. When exactly? Amar Vashi Chazino Leila Rav Kahana, I saw Rav Kahana, the Kamalahu, he said these brachas, Lekulu, all of them, Akasa de Kedusha, on a kois of Kiddush. What's he pointing out over here? He's pointing out the observation that essentially Shechiyonu has nothing to do with Kiddush. Leishev Basukah has nothing to do with Kiddush. What is the main body of Kiddush?
Mekadesh.
That's what Kiddush is. If it's on Shabbos, Mekadesh. On Shabbos, if it's on Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmani. Now, you always necessarily also have to make a Boirei Pri Hagofen because you're going to drink the wine. But essentially, the body of the Kiddush is Mekadesh HaShabbos or Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. There is a whole discussion. Now that you have to make Hagofen, does that become part and parcel of the Kiddush? It's a whole big discussion. Not our Shaila today. But Shechiyonu and Leishev Basukah essentially have nothing to do with Kiddush. Why not? Why has it got nothing to do with Kiddush? Shechiyonu goes on the Zman, Leishev goes on the Mitzvah. What's Kiddush? Kiddush is a sanctifying the day, declaring that today's Shabbos or today's Yom Tov. What's that got to do with which Mitzvah I'm about to perform? And yet, as we know, you do bring all of it together with Kiddush. Just as, for example, when Motzah Shabbos is Yom Tov. So you make Havdalah, and you do that together with Kiddush as well. Now there is a little bit more relationship, because Kiddush and Havdalah are at least two sides of one coin. What's Havdalah? You're saying it's no longer Shabbos. Yom Tov is saying it's now become Yom Tov. So they're not so unrelated. But, and you know what the proof is, by the way? Proof of the matter is, there is a discussion in the Gemara called Ein Oisin Mitzvois Chavilois Chavilois. You do not bundle up mitzvahs together. If you've got two separate chiyuvim, then you perform two separate mitzvahs. For example, I'll give you a classic example. Have you ever been to a Sheva Brochus?
Yes.
How many cups of wine do they bench on at the end? Two. Why two? Why not one cup of wine? Why two? The answer is because one of the cups is with regard to the mitzvah of Birkas HaMozin, and one of the cups is with regard to the chiyuv of Sheva Brochus. Each one requires a kois. Therefore, instead of bundling them all up into one kois, which now becomes the benching and Sheva Brochas kois, you don't do that. One kois for Sheva Brochas, one kois for benching. So what's the big question? So how come when Shabbos morphs into Yom Tov, you take one kois and you do Kiddush and Havdalah on that same kois? It's two separate mitzvahs, and they both require a kois. So why do we take two koises? So the Gemara says, because Kiddush and Havdalah are related. Birkas HaMozoin and Sheva Brochas have absolutely zero connection. So it's two independent, totally separate mechayvim. You take two koises, therefore. But Kiddush and Havdalah are not unrelated. They're very much related. Kiddush is b'makadosh the day when the day comes in, and Havdalah when it goes out. So because they're related, you can put them all onto one kois. Shechionu, now if I ask you a question, Shechionu and Leishev Basukah, is that related to your Kiddush or not related to your Kiddush? It's not really related to the Kiddush, essentially.
You can say Leishev is, because you have to make a Leishev.
It's not related to Makadosh the day. So why can you put it all on one kois? And the answer is because Leishev Basukah doesn't essentially require a kois. If a mitzvah requires a kois, then have a separate kois. So Birkas HaMazon requires a kois, that's kois number one. Sheva Brachas requires a kois, that's kois number two. But Shechianu and Leishev do not require a kois. The proof of the pudding being, you make Leishev Basukah every single day in your sukkah, and you don't do it on the kois. And so too Shechianu as well essentially could be made without a kois. Therefore, we're happy enough to put it all on one kois on the first night of Sukkot because they don't separately require their own kois. But if they would separately require a kois, then one could debate, maybe you need two koises. The answer is they don't. So of course the big question becomes, well, if they don't require a kois, so why am I grouping it together with Kiddush? What's it got to do with it? Why don't I come home and then make a bracha, Shechianu? Then fill up the Kiddush cup and make Kiddush. That's a discussion. But al koponim, we do do it ala kois. We make most mitzvahs, by the way, ala kois. Go to a bris, the brachas goes ala kois. Under the chasana, again, under the chuppah, the shev brachas, ala kois. Pidgin haben, ala kois. Birkas hamazon, ala kois. Kiddush, ala kois. Havdalah, ala kois. The kois always gives it chashivas. That's why it has to be on yayin, not orange juice. What is the shear of kois, by the way? How much does a kois have to contain? So incredibly, a revius, which is how much? Machloikas, as it's well known between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish. Reb Chaim Noah said, how much is a kois? 86 cc. What's the gematria of the word kois? And the reverse is 86 cc. Whoever doesn't believe in Torah min HaShemayim, there it is. Kois.
We grew up with the metric system.
Kois is 86, the gematria, and according to Reb Chaim Noah, a reverse is exactly 86 cc. So you'll ask me, fine, very nice. But the Chazon Ish says that a kois is not 86, it's almost double. It's 150.
I think it's 180. I mean, is that right?
And the gematria of kois is not 150, it's 86. So where's his gematria?
I'm sure it's not the time.
The answer is kois hogun. Hogun means hey gimel vav nun, means a correct kois. Hogun is hey is 5, gimel is 3, that's 8. Plus vav is 6, is 14. Plus nun is 50, is 64. 64 and 86 is exactly 150. Kois hogun, the correct kois. So what should you do? 86 cc for your Kiddush cup or 150? So because Kiddush on Friday night is Do'iraisa, we're machme. We should take 150 cc. But in theory, Kiddush on Shabbos morning, which is only Drabonon, you could be lenient. Or on Yom Tov. You could be lenient, because Kiddush on Yom Tov is only Drabonon. So here comes the big question always. People always ask, how big does my cup need to be for Seder night? I mean, 4 cups of wine, that's rough. So if somebody is able to do 150 cc 4 times, that's 600 cc altogether. Wonderful. Almost 2/3 of a liter. The Seder, if you can do that, that's great. What happens if you can't? The mitzvah of Dalet Koseis on Pesach night is Deraisa or Derabonon. It's only Derabonon. Therefore, you could be lenient. You could take a smaller kose. Here comes the big shaila, but not this year. Not this year. Because Pesach is Friday night this year. So the first cup is not only the first of the 4 koseis, it's also not Yom Tov Kiddush, it's Shabbos Kiddush. Shabbos Kiddush is Deraisa. So at least for the first cup, make sure you have 150 cc. So too, by the way, last year as well. That's one of the famous conundrums. If Pesach falls on a weekday, then all of the Dalet Koseis are Drabonon. So if you want, you don't have to, but you're allowed to be lenient, take the 86 cc. But when Pesach falls on Shabbos, like it does this year on Friday night, so the first of the 4 cups is what? It's Kiddush. Kiddush on Shabbos is Deraisa. Deraisa, Shvi Machmet, take 150 cc.
What was that?
What about
also, Friday night.
Benching is
Deraisa, but the Chiv to have a... To Kiddush is not. The Kois is not. Al Kol Ponim V'Oifem. That is a famous shaila. So you can share that with your children or your wives or your family around the table this week. The gematria of, according to Rav Chaim Noe, Kois is 86. According to the Chaznish, is 150. The gematria of Kois is 86. Kois Hogun is 150.
If I have like a 10-year-old son making Kiddush, should he...
He doesn't need a machmir because he's only Mechuyev Midrabono, because he's a chinuch. Okay, let's move on. Says the Gemara, Ton Rabbanon, Hoyu Lefon of Mitzvahs Harbe. If a person had in front of him several mitzvahs, Oymer, what does he say? Baruch HaShekidishon Mitzvahsav Etzivonu Al HaMitzvahs. Rather than making a separate bracha on every mitzvah, he just makes one general bracha ala mitzvahs. That is the first opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's not true. Mavarech al kolachas va'achas b'fnei atzmo. You make a bracha on every single one, which is what we do, by the way, separately. Omer Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said v'itema, or perhaps it's not Reb Zeira. Who was it? Reb Chanina ba'papa. Hilchasa k'Reb Yehuda. Hilchasek Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, you make a bracha on every single one. Vomer Rav Zeira, v'yitamer Rav Chanina b'papa. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What indeed is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Dichsiv Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. You make a bracha every day. What does that mean, every day? V'chi b'yoim mevorachin. Oisai. Ubalaila ein mevarchin oisai. Do you only make a bracha? Do you only bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, in the day and not at the night? Why does it say yoim yoim? Elo, what does it mean? Bo loy malacha. What it means, what it's coming to tell you is, Bechol yoim vayoim. Ten loy me ein berkoisov. Every single day, mention a different type of bracha. Remember we said, on Shabbos you mention Shabbos, and Yom Tov you mention Yom Tov. which Yom Tov, whichever Yom Tov it is. So too, Hachanami b'chol dova v'dova, ten loyme en birkoisov. In the same way as every single day, not as opposed to night, it means every single occasion, requires its own individual bracha, rather than making one standard bracha, so too every single dova, every single mitzvah requires its own bracha. V'omar Rav Zeir, Rav Yitamer, Rav Chanina, Bapapa, bo ure'ei. Come and see, shaloi kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas bosor v'adom. Unlike the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the midah of bosor v'adom. Why? Midas bosor v'adom, when it comes to human beings, kli reikom machzik. An empty kli can contain, can be filled up. Mole einoi machzik, but what's full cannot be added to. Avol midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the exact opposite. Mole machzik, what's full can hold more. Reikon einoi machzik shenema v'hoyo im shomoya tishma. If you listen, you'll hear more. Im shomoya tishma v'im lav loy tishma. Dovar acher, im shomoya b'yoshon tishma b'chodosh. If you go over the old material, then you'll be better equipped to learn the new material. This was, of course, a chizuk to do chazak. But if you turn your heart away and you say, no, that's it, I've done that already, I can't be bothered to do chazara, then lo tishma, you will not be heard. Okay. Brand new Gemara, brand new sugya. Now, by way of introduction, we need to do a little bit of translation over here. If you turn back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, at the end of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, what were the final words of the Mishnah?
Miyad.
Miyad tinoikos shomtim es lulvehen v'oichlin esregeim. Now, the word miyad, we know, can be translated in Lashon HaKodesh as two separate things. Either from the hand of mi yad, or
right away,
immediately. Which means that this Mishnah can be read in two separate ways. If you translate mi yad as meaning from the hand of, so then you'd read it as follows. Mi yad tinoikos, comma, from the hands of the children, shomtim es lulvehen, they would grab the lulavim. Who would grab whose?
The adults.
The adults would be grabbing from the hands of the children. So then the comma goes after the word tinoikos, miyad tinoikos. If, however, you translate miyad as immediately, then the comma goes after the word miyad. Miyad, immediately, meaning following the whole beating of the hadas, or of the lulav, or the rov on the floor, miyad, immediately, comma, tinoikos shomtim es lulvehen. The children grab the lulavim of the adults. So who's doing the grabbing? Who's the grabber and who's the grabby? See, if you say it's miyad tinoikos, from the hands of tinoikos, the adults grabbed. Or no, miyad, immediately, the children grabbed. Different ways of translating it. Okay, so we'll see in our Gemara. So we're now being introduced to a brand new principle. What is this brand new principle? Muktzah. So why are we saying it's brand new? It's not brand new. We know muktzah from every single Shabbos, but this is not the same muktzah. This is the principle of huktza lemitzvase. It comes from the same root. What does the word muktza actually mean?
Set aside.
Set apart. Let's go to first principles. We all know an even, a broken piece of wood, a broken piece of glass on Shabbos is muktza. Why? What does that mean it's muktza? It's set apart. I have no usage from it. What are you going to tell me? No, but occasionally I do need a stone because I need to throw a stone at whatever it is. But that's not what it's oimed for. This word oimed is a word that we're going to be using a lot now. What does oymed mean? It doesn't stand for that usage. If you ask, what is the usage of a stone? The answer is, nothing. It doesn't have a usage. That's why it's mopsa. Because of no usage. If you happen to know prior to Shabbos that you want to use a stone on Shabbos for whatever reason, then you do yichud. What does yichud mean? You allocate it or you designate it for a specific use, so it's no longer an oven. For example, let's say I've got a pile of papers which is going to fly away. So I need something as a paperweight. So if I discover that the papers are flying around on Shabbos, I can't take an oven because it's muktzah. But if I know it in advance and I take the oven on Erev Shabbos and I use it as a paperweight, there's no longer a stone. What is it? It's a paperweight, so it's not muktzah. That is the principle of muktzah. Oh, there's a whole discussion how you do yichud. You have to allocate it verbally, physically. It's a whole discussion. That's not our discussion at the moment. So muktzah, at least with regard to Shabbos, means it's set apart, either because it has no use, or, for example, it has no Shabbos use. If I have an animal, if I have a cow in my back garden, that's muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Not because it has no use. A cow has a lot of uses. But none of the uses are halachically permissible on Shabbos. What is a cow there for? To milk it or to shecht it. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So it's not a useless item like a stone. But it's rendered useless because halachically all its usages are prohibited. It's another type of muktzah, etc., etc., etc. Now, we move on to an inyan called huktzah lemitzvosai. Again, set apart for a mitzvah. So if you go to the field and you cut 20 esrogim today, in the middle of Kislev, what is an esrog? It's a fruit. It's a food. The food is not muktzah. Even, by the way, if you're not planning on eating the food, it's not muktzah, unless it's non-edible. If you have a raw potato is muktzah on Shabbos. Why is it muktzah on Shabbos? There's nothing you could do with it. Again, not because it's useless essentially. It's because its only use is via cooking, and cooking is prohibited on Shabbos, so for all intents and purposes, this potato has become rendered useless. What is an esrog? An esrog is a fruit. In theory, you could cut up and open it and eat it. Like a lemon, like an orange, it's a citrus fruit. So if you had an esrog in your house today and you went to the field and you plucked it and you brought it to your house, it's not muktzah, it's a regular fruit, whether or not you're planning on eating it. When, however, it comes to your esrog of Mitzvahs arba minim. You did not buy this esrog because you wanted to make jam for fruit. Rather, you bought the esrog for purposes of a mitzvah. So when you shake that esrog, what has it just now become? It's no longer a fruit. What is it?
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah item. It's been allocated and used. We'll see later on, is allocation enough, or do you actually have to use it? But this has become allocated and used for a mitzvah. That is its purpose. And therefore, if you are hungry one sukkah afternoon, you think to yourself, wouldn't it be lovely to have now an esrog party? The answer is you can't, because this esrog is allocated and used for a mitzvah.
What you... The Gemara was going to discuss this. Case if you've already performed it.
We'll see. Essentially, when is it muktzah till? Till the end of Yom Tov, till you don't need it anymore. By the way, everybody in this shir should all be jumping up and down, because didn't we once learn, in fact not once, about 100 times, that Rav Chanina took a bite out of his esrog? So how do you take a bite out of his esrog? It's muktzah. Again, don't make a mistake of it. We don't mean muktzah as in also to move. Muktzah as in set apart, as the same shayrish, different halachas. It's the same shayrish. It's the same root, same yisoid. It's huktzah lemitzvosei. That which is allocated for a mitzvah cannot be used for other usages. Therefore, if you have a lulav, same story would apply. if you have a sukkah, and halfway through sukkah you feel very cold, so you want to make a bonfire to warm you up, but you have no firewood. Ah, so let's take down one of the sukkah walls and use that as firewood. Can't. What about after sukkahs? No problem, because it was only allocated for the duration of Yom Tov. What exactly is the duration of Yom Tov? Whether that's 7 days or 8 days, that's going to be our whole discussion. Now, there is another very important principle. And this we find in Shabbos as well, and this is very, very, very important to know. It's called migu.
Ah.
What does migu mean? Migu is a principle that appears in many, many places. Over here it means migu since. Since what? The halacha is, what will be in the following scenario? What will be in the following scenario? Imagine you have a potato. When it came to the onset of Shabbos, Bein Hashmoshes, this potato was totally raw. So what's its status? Somehow, by hook or by crook, this potato became cooked on Shabbos. A guy cooked it. My child cooked it by mistake. Whatever. It became cooked. It's still asa to eat. Migu, because or since it was muktza at the onset of Shabbos, meaning Bein Hashmoshes, it remains that way, even though the very reason that rendered it muktza in the first place no longer applies. Why was this potato muktza in the first place? Because it was raw. But it's no longer raw. Doesn't matter, it remains muktza.
Isn't that any type of hanah? Like if my child opens up the...
That's a different issue. That's only if he does it for you. I'm not talking about that. You didn't
well,
do it for
just,
you?
They did it for them by accident.
Then you're allowed to have hanah from it. Normally. This is a different issue. Once a state, once an object is mukta, it remains that way for the whole of Shabbos.
So if I have a bottle of grape juice with a metal top...
That's a different question. That's nothing to do with muktzah.
But I can't open on Shabbos, so isn't it muktzah before?
No, because some people can, if you can ask somebody who does. Muktzah is something that I have no way of using it in a permissible way. Bottle, some people do and some people don't, so you can ask somebody who does. That's a different question. That is the principle of migu. Since migu de iskatsoi bein hashmoshes, since it is muktzah bein hashmoshes, what's bein hashmoshes?
Suffolk.
Twilight at Shkia, where it becomes now Suffolk Shabbos, that therefore is katsoi lekula yoimai, remains muktza for the whole day, even though the reason that initially made it muktza no longer applies. Doesn't matter. Once muktza, always muktza. At least till the end of Shabbos. Now, let's have a look at the Gemara. We're going to make at least a start to this new sugya. Omrim Yechanan Esrug Bishvi'i Asa. Rabbi Yochanan tells us the Esrog on the seventh day is Asa to eat. Says Rashi, Asa, exactly in line with the Gemara, Asa what? La'achila. Va'afilu la'achar sheyotza bo. Even after you have already been yotze the mitzvah with. Now this is a big chiddush. Why is it a big chiddush?
Set aside for a mitzvah.
If it was set aside for a mitzvah, how many mitzvahs are there? 7 mitzvahs. I've done my last mitzvah now. The last day, I've shaken my esrog. What's this esrog for? Nothing. So why is it still muktzah? Says Rashi, kedemafarish taima. As we will explain later on the reasoning, kosova, because he holds, lekol Shivas Hayomim Iskatsoi. Because this opinion, meaning Rabbi Yochanan holds, for all 7 days it was Iskatsoi. What does Iskatsoi mean?
Set
apart. This whole Gemara is based on his da'as, psychology. What did he initially think from the outset? When Yom Tov came in, what did he think to himself? I'm hereby setting apart my Esrog for the following number of days. Or the following amount of time. How long? So the first opinion says, all 7 days. Why that should be, we'll see. Back into the Gemara. But Sukkah afilu bishmini asura. So the Esrog is bashvi'i asa, but bashmini muta. What does it mean bashmini? Eitzei, meaning shmini atzeres. But Sukkah afilu bishmini asura. Asura for what?
7th and 8th days.
For example,
fire. To make fire.
Says Rashi, Sukkah afilu bishmini asura lahasoka. What's hasoka?
Firewood.
V'tama mefarish lekamon. And the reason will be explained later. Maishno meyasruk. As we always point out, if Rashi says begemara mefarish timer, it means there's an obvious question that we should all be asking, which is, what's the difference between sukkah and luluf? There is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. There's a mitzvah to shake esrog for 7 days. So whenever the muktzah runs out for one,
surely,
presumably for the other as well, why all of a sudden do we see that luluf and esrog is 7? And Sukkah is 8. That needs to be explained, says the Gemara. It will be explained. Hang on in there. That is all the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. V'Resh Lakish Omar. Resh Lakish says that no. Esrog afilu b'shvi'i nami muta. Esrog, not only do I disagree, or not only, we'll see. Esrog. You said that Esrog on the Shvi is also. What does that mean on the Shvi? Which part of the Shvi? After Bin Yetzia Mitzah. Everybody agrees, obviously, that on the 7th day in the morning, prior to being Mekayin the Mitzvah, of course the Esrog is Muktzah, because it's still allocated for a Mitzvah. The discussion is on the Shvi following the Mitzvah. So when Rabbi Yochanan says that Shvi is Asa, that's why Rashi pointed out, it means Shvi even after Bin Yotze the Mitzvah. As opposed to Resh Lakish, who says, Bashvi'i Nami Muta, it's also Muta, meaning, when is that? After Bin Yotze the Mitzvah, as Rashi says. Fafilu Bazai Nami Muteres, Misha Yotze Bo. Once he has been yotze the mitzvah, ve'eino oimedes lemitzvah oid, and it is no longer standing to be used for a mitzvah because the mitzvah is finished. De kosovar, because he holds lemitzvosa iskatzoi, it is set apart for the mitzvah v'suloi and nothing more. What does that mean?
After that, it doesn't have the.
It hasn't got the muktzah status. Why not? So the Gemara explains. And this is what Rashi is referring to. Says the Gemara, b'mai komiflegi, what exactly are they arguing about? Says the Gemara, mar sovar. One opinion holds, this is in fact the second opinion, Resh Lakish. Le mitzvosa iskatzoi. Umar sova le kule yoima iskatzoi. What does that mean? What went through the owner's mind from the outset? I am now setting apart my esrog for
the mitzvah of esrog.
Is it for the mitzvah of esrog or for the Yom Tov of Sukkos? If you hold it for the mitzvah of Esrog, then presumably as soon as you finished,
you could use it.
You finished. Because it was only ever muktzah until you mekayim the mitzvah. Once I'm mekayim the mitzvah, game over. But if you hold that, no, he was maktzah it for the duration of Yom Tov, so it's irrespective of whether he's mekayim the mitzvah or not. Okay, we're going to press pause over here. I would recommend that you see the top Tosfos. The first half of Tosfos. Until you'll see on the first word on the line is Hayomim. You can stop after the word Bishmeitzin. Maybe we'll see the second half, but it's crucial to prepare the first half. Then, the third Tosfos, D'I, and the next Tosfos, the Esrog Tosfos, short Tosfos. But first we should see the Gemara, try and move ourselves down towards the bottom of the Gemara. All the very best, everybody. Have a great day.
Okay, I'm ready. Shir tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful job. Call me if you need a ride.
Shkech, yeah.